It's news time on the Foundation Radio. It's news time on the Foundation Radio.
World Health Organization experts are meeting in Yaoundé to map out a holistic approach to prevent cervical cancer in Africa. Angry relatives of passengers on board the missing Malaysia Airlines plane have clashed with police outside Malaysia's embassy in the Chinese capital, Beijing. And in sports, Oscar Pistorius and his girlfriend, Reeva Steenkamp, made 5 phone calls to each other just hours before he shot her. His murder trial has heard all the stories and more in this edition of the Lunchtime Newscast presented by Milanzo Vela Venue. I'll be back.
Quality information, facts, and analysis only on Foundation Radio.
You're welcome back. World Health Organization experts are meeting in Yaoundé to map out a holistic approach to prevent cervical cancer in Africa. The experts from 15 African countries will share technical updates and cervical cancer prevention actions in their various countries. Statistics from World Health Organization indicate that 528,000 cases of cervical cancer are recorded worldwide each year. In Cameroon, 14,000 new cases are diagnosed yearly. It is the second most frequent cancer affecting women in Cameroon after breast cancer. Police officers from 15 different countries today begin a training exercise on peacekeeping at the International Academy for Security Forces. The exercise, dubbed European Union Police Services Training 2014, consists of developing a theme on an imaginary country in Africa, taking into consideration sensitive situations. The exercise will run through the 25th of April. Today's kickoff in Yaoundé will be taken by the Minister Delegate at the Presidency in charge of defense. 26,000 cases of tuberculosis were reported in Cameroon last year, up from 25,000 in 2012. The statistics were revealed in Yaoundé on the occasion of this year's edition of the World Tuberculosis Day. While publishing the figures yesterday, the officials of the program to tackle tuberculosis said the increase in figure was due to the link that exists between TB and HIV and AIDS, because according to medics, many people living with AIDS are likely to suffer from tuberculosis. Cameroon has 235 centers for the diagnosis and free treatment of tuberculosis. Following the death of Lapiro Demba, there have been conflicting reports over his last wish. Many say he willed that he should not be buried in Cameroon, but so far no reaction has come from the family of the deceased. According to unofficial sources, his corpse shall be laid in state in Buffalo, New York on Friday, March 28th, followed by a public viewing that continues till Sunday, after which the corpse shall be burned. It is alleged that during a ceremony in Washington, D.C. on May 3rd, the ashes of the popular singer shall be dispersed. Today, will writing is one of those ways in which equitable satisfaction can be achieved in most families. Unfortunately, most wills are forged for self-centered reasons. In the paper that follows, Anderson Accord looks at the fallouts of a sampled case of will forgery in a family.
In simple terms, a will can be referred to as a legal document that says what is to happen to somebody's money and property after he or she dies. In recent times, wills have not been respected either intentionally or mistakenly, equally saying that self-interest, greed, bad faith, and cheating has always made people not to respect the wills left behind by the departed. A recent case in question is a funeral that was marred by rains and thunderstorms in Jikwa. According to reports, a man called James had willed that when he dies, his corpse should not be taken to any mortuary. His corpse should be laid in state in his kitchen where he spends most of his time when he was alive, and concluded that no alcohol should be consumed at his funeral. When he died, just the reverse was done, as he was taken to a mortuary, laid in state in an open space under a well-decorated canopy, and even where the late man specified that he should be buried was changed. As a consequence, when this man was taken to the mortuary, the first signal was heavy rains that pulled off the roof of the main building of the compound. Then, the next of kin was being chased in his dreams by his late father, repeating all the instructions in the will, in the dream. Just when the corpse was taken out of the mortuary, the corpse was swelling, sweating, and bleeding. As the convoy got home, the ambulance stopped at the entrance into the compound. Lights went off. Heavy rains started falling with hailstones, thunderstorms, and winds that blew off even the canopy under which late James was laid. With the coffin now getting smaller, the only option was to rush and bury the corpse. But as they got to the grave, which had been docked on a different spot, the grave was already filled with water. It was then that the next of kin told onlookers that late James was angry due to the changes he had effected on the will. Both family members, friends, and relatives then pleaded with the dead man before the rains suddenly stopped and he was buried in a muddy grave. This is just one of such cases. Many have suffered unpleasant consequences simply because wills were changed to favor them or the present time. Our call to those who write their wills is that they should think well before writing and should always look at the changes of the time and do well to rewrite them to suit the era. While many who want to change wills should do so for tangible reasons.
And listen, I coined that paper. You're listening to Foundation Radio Lunchtime News.
Quality information, facts, and analysis only on Foundation Radio.
The threats of climate change and pollution of the atmosphere has been the agenda in so many conferences, workshops, and seminars all over the world. In today's Inside Out, Priscilla Ninge is of the opinion that individuals themselves are doing little or nothing to protect their environment.
As the farming season intensifies, we find and hear many people asking friends and neighbors if the climate change is going to affect the farming season, if crops are going to do well, and if the rains are going to continue or suddenly cut off, like in some past years. The question, however, is that despite all these fears that climate change will affect the human population, agriculture, animal rearing, construction, and even mobility, not to talk of the dangers to houses, does the society ever think of all it does to make the environment worse than it already is? As a conference is holding Yaoundé on climate change, are individuals themselves aware of the fact that burning bushes help to destroy the ozone layer? And if they do know, do they even care about the future negative results or just the immediate benefit they can get? When society says polythene bags that are not biodegradable are a threat to nature, but decry the fact that the bags are to be banned as from April 1st, does that mean that They would rather protect their property and lose their environment, or do they actually care for the world they live in? Everybody sees climate change and atmospheric pollution has negative impact on society, yet they are the same people who make those statements, who pour toxic waste in the oceans, who dump unhealthy refuse along roadsides, who burn farms that sometimes destroys people's houses and also destroys other properties. If we know that climate change can cause cancerous diseases, respiratory and heart diseases, as well as knowing that the climate change gets negatively increasing as we continue to pollute the environment, then is it not time for us to acknowledge that it is not just conferences, but the support of each individual which is needed to protect our climate and environment? If plastic bags are bad, let's stop using it. If we know that smoking and burning bushes is toxic, let's prevent it. You can't cry for help and not try to save yourself. A Foundation Radio's Inside Out, this is Priscilla Ninge.
In news out of the country, angry relatives of passengers on board the missing Malaysia Airlines plane have clashed with police outside Malaysia's embassy in the Chinese capital Beijing. It came after Malaysian PM Najib Razak said a new analysis of satellite data showed the plane had ended its journey in remote seas west of Australia. China has asked to see the data on which Malaysia's conclusion was based. Flight MH370 disappeared on 8th March as it flew from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing. It was carrying a total of 239 people, including 153 Chinese nationals. In Beijing, relatives of passengers on board the plane released a statement accusing the Malaysian government of trying to delay, distort, and hide the truth. Dozens of them left their Beijing hotel on a protest bound for the Malaysian embassy, carrying banners asking Kuala Lumpur to be truthful with the relatives. Police blocked their buses from leaving, so they left the buses and walked there themselves, with scuffles then erupting outside the diplomatic mission. Sports. In sports, Oscar Pistorius and his girlfriend River Steenkamp made 5 phone calls to each other just hours before he shot her. His murder trial has heard. A police captain has given evidence about the couple's mobile phones. On Monday, Captain Francois Muller revealed that Mrs. Steenkamp had sent Mr. Pistorius a text message saying, "I am scared of you sometimes." The athlete denies deliberately killing his girlfriend in February last year, saying he thought she was an intruder. The trial has now entered its 4th week, with the prosecution expected to wrap up its case before Friday. And that concludes this edition of the Lunchtime Newscast. But before we go, we'll revisit our top stories. World Health Organization experts are meeting in Yaounde to map out a holistic approach to prevent cervical cancer in Africa. Angry relatives of passengers on board the missing Malaysia Airlines plane have clashed with police outside Malaysia's embassy in the Chinese capital, Beijing. And in sports, Oscar Pistorius and his girlfriend, River Steenkamp, made 5 phone calls to each other just hours before he shot her. His murder trial has heard. And that's the end of the Lunchtime Newscast of a Foundation Radio, in which we had contributions from Priscilla Ninge, Anderson Akko, and technical support from Bayre Waters, with general supervision from our station boss, Mokun John Nelson. For presentation, I've been Lanza Velavenue, hoping to be with you again same time tomorrow. Until then, have a nice day.
Quality information, facts, and analysis, only on Foundation Radio. We've combined excellent ideas into one body, one spirit, and one radio. Foundation Radio, the peak of radio broadcasting.